Hello, and welcome to our Journey into Spring, a monthly podcast to gently reawaken you as we move towards spring. I'm Emma Wise.
And I'm Sue Wood.
And we're really glad that you found your way here.
In this series, we'll be bringing back some of our familiar favourites from our Journey Through Winter podcast, as well as lots of new content, all designed to help you thrive as we emerge into spring. Now, as is customary in our podcast, we would like you to settle down with a hot cuppa and enjoy. This moment, a neighbourhood at dusk. Things are getting ready to happen out of sight. Stars and moths and rinds slanting around fruit, but not yet. One tree is black, one window is yellow as butter. A woman leans down to catch a child who has run into her arms this moment. Stars rise, moths flutter, apples sweeten in the dark. And that was a poem by Evan Boland. Welcome to our first episode of Journey into Spring. I am here as always with my great friend Emma.
Hello.
We've both got big grins on our faces at the moment because we're so excited to be recording again together, and we're sat in Emma's beautiful garden. It isn't the most inspiring spring day, it's grey, and so we want to inject a little bit of springtime magic into our and your lives with our podcast today.
We do. So we'll be bringing back some of our familiar favourites from our Journey Through Winter podcast. And we've got some new and exciting content to share with you as well. So we're going to be telling you a little bit about what we're doing as we gently awaken from our winter rest into the season of spring. We're going to be sharing with you some ideas for cyclical living, and that's going to include some words from Sue around what's going on with the moon. I'm going to be sharing some springtime recipes. We've got some seasonal words for you and some lovely self-care ideas to adopt this February. And then at the end of our podcast, as usual, we're going to be setting you a few tasks to help you really get a sense of connection to this time of year when all is potential and all is possibility.
Plus, at the end of our podcast, we have a new competition to announce. So please do carry on listening to the end. So Emma, do you want to tell me about some of the things you're doing to awaken into spring?
Of course. So I feel like I was away actually over the Imbolc weekend, which I always think is like the very first stirrings of life. So it feels to me like the very, very beginnings of spring. And it was a beautiful weekend weather-wise. It was a beautiful weekend in lots of ways, actually. But the weather was amazing. I had lunch outdoors. The doors of the house I was staying in were open. The sun was shining. We got up to see the sunrise. So there was a real sense of kind of optimism. Now, sadly, the weather has regressed a little bit from that beautiful state, but I kind of trying to hang on to that sense that life was really returning to, you know, life was returning in nature. Things are starting to really stir. And I think your poem gave us a little sense of that. You know, we can't necessarily see things, but they're happening. And you feel that somehow. And I'm picking up on that. There's a few little things I'm doing that I feel kind of called to do, I think, as we're moving towards spring. The first one inevitably is a little bit of a spring declutter. I don't think I can quite call it a clean, but a spring declutter. And in particular, I'm trying to sort out my wardrobes, and I've ordered for myself some lovely storage boxes. Ironic, really, I'm decluttering, and yet I need to buy more equipment in order to do said task. But anyway, I'm going to be separating out my gym clothes into different boxes. So sports bras, tops, bottoms in different things. This feels like I'm quite excited about it, oddly, but is there something about the energy of this time of the year that makes you want to sort things out and kind of clear the decks a little? So I'm leaning into that. I am also cheering myself up whenever I visit the supermarket or the market and just buy myself one or two really cheap bunches of daffodils. So not the fancy ones, just the £1 a bunch daffodils. I don't think you can get much at all in the world nowadays for £1, but you can get yourself a bunch of daffodils. And when they open up, they can't fail to kind of bring a little bit of cheer to your space, even if outside is really grey. And then I'm also kind of seizing on there being a bit more energy out there in the world to do more energetic things personally. And one of the things I committed to do as the year began was to find some kind of activity to build physical strength. So I do quite a lot of running and stretching and things like that, but I hadn't been doing much strength work. So I found a really lovely group strength class, which I'm hoping to go to once a week, and I've done my first one and it was great. So yeah, and actually finishing that, there was that real sense of vitality and energy really that feels very appropriate for the spring. So that's me, Sue. How about you?
I definitely am feeling more energetic, and there's harnessing the energy of the season. And like you, a physical challenge is always something I like to add into my life, but it doesn't feel right to add that in at the start of January. I do like to just pause for a bit and just start to gently introduce it as the season is kind of opening up again. So I've started to just tweak my running distance and gradually increase it run by run, and it feels really exciting. I actually managed to get further than I had for a long time this weekend, and the weather wasn't that great, but it just, I had that real smile on my face, so I thought I'd just push myself just that little bit more. So I'm sort of leaning into that the energy and kind of going with that. At home, a little bit like you, I have finally decided it's just about warm enough to go and start to declutter my garage, which has been a project that has needed to be done for quite some time. And actually, I'm really enjoying it. Just again, this time of year just lends itself, doesn't it, to just starting to get outside. I can do it even if it's drizzling outside, which it has been doing quite a bit. You know, I've got the kind of doors open and I feel semi outside, and actually that feels really nice. And then finally, I'm, like you were saying, in bulk, any time that the weather feels suitable, I'm wrapping myself up in my big swim jacket and bobble hat and sitting outside and having lunch and just trying to soak up rays of sun, which feel, maybe it's just in my head, but they do feel a little bit warmer than they did, you know, 6 weeks ago. So yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Lovely. So it's time for the regular features in our Journey into Spring podcast. And first up, Sue is going to be sharing with us some words on the subject of cyclical living, telling us about how to tune in to the moon and also what else is going on out there in the big wide world right now. So Sue, what have you got to share with us?
Thanks, Emma. I would like to start with the moon because I still feel that the dark skies are still with us and it's still dominating my thoughts. I have really missed it, actually. It's been cloudy in the sky and I really am looking forward to seeing it again. It's been a little while since I've seen it. So I quite like those little moments where I haven't seen it for a few days and there it is, especially when it's a full moon. But we are in the very last stages of the waning moon. So if we're lucky, we'll see a nice little slither of a crescent, ready for the new moon day, which is on the 28th. Now that coincides with the start of Ramadan, and the Islamic calendar is completely dominated by the moon. So they will fast and pause during, you know, the kind of daylight hours of eating, and that will last until the next new moon, which will be 28, 30 days after the 28th. So And it's an interesting time. It also coincides a few days later on the 4th of March. We have, of course, Pancake Day. And then that starts and heralds the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday, 40 days. And I like the fact that these two periods coincide. The kind of offering, I suppose, for Lent, isn't it, is to give something up, maybe not to fast completely, but to, you know, to eat plainer food and to just, you know, take a moment and, you know, think about, you know, forgiving yourself and really, you know, just letting go. And I like that there's comparisons, there's two, you know, that kind of connection really for me between those two religions, and just that nice synchronicity, I suppose. So I was reading a little bit about Pancake Day while we're on the subject of pancakes. I love Pancake Day. So it's just a fun thing to do, isn't it? It's like, just throw that into a point of the year. And Emma and I are actually talking before we were recording this episode and just say, actually, it isn't easy at this time of year. I call it like the winter spring period. You might jump forward and feel like you have a day when, you know, you don't wear a coat and you go, oh, here we are, we're in spring. And then the day after, you're back in, you know, full on gloves, and you've forgotten even to take them, you know, and you're just thinking, wow, it's colder than I was expected. So just nice to have a jolly thing to do in the beginning of March. And the very, very early origins apparently goes back a long time, the kind of the flipping of pancakes and the making of pancakes, beyond the point where it was adopted by the Christian religion. And it goes back way to the pagans, back to the Romans. So I like that. It's an ancient tradition that we can all get involved in. The pagans used it as a symbol of the returning of the sun. A few weeks after that is the equinox, and that could be a point where everybody is just, you know, ready for that point where we have the equal day and the equal night. And it will be preceded by a lunar eclipse on the 14th of March. So the next full moon will be a lunar eclipse. And that is visible across most of the Western Hemisphere. Unlike the solar eclipses, the lunar eclipses are, you know, much more visible. And it says the moon's shadow will appear to turn red as it passes into the Earth's shadow, and it can last up to 2 hours. So that can be a great thing to see in the night sky mid-March. So there's so many things to tell you in this section. We talked about when we were changing and thinking about what we were going to do with different sections. And this section felt like it needed to expand from the moon. You know, we're leaving these dark skies, but still so fascinating. And we're moving out into the kind of the other points of the year. And the sun is starting to take over. So the equinox on the 20th of March will be just such a lovely celebration of that in equal daylight, equal day length and night length. So we're looking forward to that. I do want to mention before I'm going back to the moon very briefly that this year is a year of the lunar standstill. Happens not very often, every 18.6 years. And it's got me delving into a really interesting subject called archaeoastronomy, which is how our ancestors, ancient people who built things like Stonehenge and all the other megaliths around the country, around the world, really honoured and noted the night sky. It's a new thing for me. I'm kind of familiar with the moon, familiar with the idea of the cycle of the moon journeying from new to full and then back to new. But then thinking of that journey in the sky and then trying to imagine, and this always blows my mind a bit, but, you know, imagining, you know, the moon and what it does rotating around the Earth in relation to the other planets and the sun. And of course, we had those major alignments happening. And wow, what a night sky vision it was. End of January, early Feb, until it went cloudy. So this lunar standstill happens very often, and it's to do with the orbit of the moon. I don't want to get too technical here. I feel like go and check it out. We'll share some links in the show notes. What I do want to do to conclude this section is to really honour this phenomenon, really, that doesn't happen very often. So let me read this from The Almanac by Leah Lindertz. And it's a major lunar standstill year. It says the moon is at a major lunar standstill. This phenomenon, as mentioned, occurs every 18.6 years, may have been tracked by our Neolithic ancestors in many stone circles. All of this year, the moon will oscillate between being extremely high in the sky and then extremely low. From northern latitudes, it will barely skim the horizon at times to dramatic effect, as it will always look larger when it's near the horizon.
So I think that's really beautiful. It says, as we're considering how ancient people observed the goings-on of the night sky, it's fascinating to look at it from an earthbound perspective. So the moon's rising and setting points on the horizons change through each month. So where you see it arise, where you see it set, change. And at the moment, in this full lunar standstill, it's the most northerly for us. So I just find that really fascinating. So I will share some things in the show notes for anybody that's interested and wants to delve deeper into that. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you, Sue. So I'm going to bridge us into this month's seasonal recipes with just a quick reference back to Pancake Day and a little bit of a brag, I'm afraid, Sue. So you may know that the local town of Oni is the original originator, I've got that, of the pancake race. And a pancake race started there, I can't remember the year, but it was a really, really long time ago, hundreds of years ago. And now there are pancake races, of course, all around the world. And in order to participate in the Oni pancake race, one must live in the lovely little town of Oni. And I did for a period of 2 years. I rented a little house on the high street in the town. And that made me eligible for the pancake race. So, of course, I had to sign up. And I did it both years I was there. And the second year, I came fourth. Fourth. So it was great. It was such a good experience. Really good fun. And at the end, on that evening, they have this big celebration in conjunction with a town in the US. And they give out prizes, and I won myself a frying pan, and I still use it. It's really good. It's a really good frying pan. And that was years ago now, you know, probably going on for 20 years ago, and I've still got my pan. So
Em, do you get a sort of like alumni rights of only if you've been living there? Can you go back, or do you have to
live there? It's like, it's really strict. So I was only eligible twice, and I did participate both years. I don't know if I'd have carried on doing it. I don't think I would. So, but it was really good to embrace it while I was there, and while I was actually quite fast. I'm way slower now, so I don't want to do it anymore. Anyway, so pancakes is kind of foodie related, so that brings me nicely to this month's recipes. And I've got two things to share with you today. Firstly, my idea for a nice hot drink, and secondly, a lovely cheery sweet treat for the early spring. So today the hot drink is a tea, and it's a really simple fennel seed tea, which is something I make all of the time, but I feel is particularly kind of appropriate, or it just feels the right thing for this moment of the year, because fennel tea has that kind of cleansing quality, but it's also maintains an earthiness. So it's got that kind of winter spring quality with a little bit of heavy, a little bit of light. Probably overdoing the relevance of a fennel tea. But anyways, it's a really easy make. So you need to just put approximately a teaspoon of fennel seeds per cup of water into a large pan, and you boil the water and the fennel seeds together, simmer for about 5 minutes, and then you serve your tea. It's way, way nicer than making fennel tea with a tea bag, I guarantee. It's also dead cheap, really easy, and I'd really advocate giving the fennel seed tea a go. And what would be really delicious with your fennel seed tea, I think, are some lemon, thyme and ginger shortbreads. So this is a seasonal bake, and I got this recipe from the book Making Winter by Emma Mitchell, which we referenced on our winter podcast a couple of times. It's a really, really lovely book. And her lemon, thyme and ginger shortbreads feel to me the bake of the moment, because they've got this kind of zingy, tangy spring quality, but they've also got something really comforting about them. And actually anything yellow and vibrant and optimistic, I think I really welcome in February. So these are properly cheering tea time treats. There's a relatively long ingredients list. It will be in the show notes. But if you break it down and cut into two different sections, this is a pretty easy assembly job, really. So this is what you're going to need. So first of all, for the shortbread element, 200 grams of softened butter, 95 grams of golden caster sugar, 200 grams of plain flour, 60 grams of corn flour, and 35 grams of polenta. And then you need to line a square baking tray, something like 25 centimetres by 25 centimetres, with some baking parchment and put your oven on to heat to 180 degrees. And you start making by making the shortbread. So you cream the butter and the sugar together. When that's light and fluffy, you add your flours and it kind of assembles into a coherent dough. You then press the dough into the tin using your fingers. This is one of those really lovely, satisfying jobs I really enjoy. And as you press the shortbread into the tin, make a kind of a small lip around the edge with your fingers, so to contain our filling for our shortbreads, which we'll be coming onto in a minute. Pop your shortbread into your warm oven for about 15 minutes until golden brown. And then you take the shortbread out of the oven and you move on to stage two of our make, which is our lemony filling. So for this, you're going to need 3 eggs, 4 large lemons, which need to be both juiced and zested. You need 180 grams of caster sugar, 25 grams of plain flour, and then a tablespoon of grated ginger and a tablespoon of fresh thyme leaves. To make the lemon filling, you beat together, first of all, your eggs with the lemon juice. And then in a separate bowl, and ideally you would use a big mixing jug for this, you would put into there your zest, sugar, your flour, and then slowly you pour in the egg and the lemon mix, mixing all the time to combine. And then gently stir in your ginger and half of the thyme leaves. And then you pour all of that mixture on top of the shortbread, pop it back into the oven, and you bake for about 15 minutes until it's lightly set. So it should just have a little bit of wobble in it. Take it out of the oven. You can just sprinkle over your remaining thyme leaves just to make it look really pretty. And then cut it into squares, and you can eat it warm, in which case the lemon will be slightly runnyish, or you can wait for it to cool down and it'll be a firmer set. But really tangy, just a really welcome thing to make at this time of year, I think. So good luck with it, and let me know if you decide to give it a go.
Emma, as always, that sounds absolutely delicious. And I remember very clearly how much the ladies on our Real Life Journey Through Winter loved those treats last year after the cold dip in the pond. We now move into our, I was going to say wintry words, our springtime words. Winter's always on my mind, even in a different season. I just can't help it.
Our first poem is dedicated to Sarah's dad, Harry.
And it's a poem, an ancient poem by Sappho, and it's called The Moon. The stars about the lovely moon fade back and vanish very soon. When round and full, her silver face swims into sight and lights all space. Our second poem, it's by Nikita Gill, and it's called The Fawn.
And I chose this because it's after she's written that. She's written after Mary Oliver's Wild Geese. And of course, everybody who knows our podcast knows that we love Mary Oliver. So here we go. You do not have to win at a crisis. You do not have to push yourself to learn a new language or write a book or take up an instrument. Nothing will come of forcing yourself to compete your way out of trauma. Take this time to look at the stars. Take this time to look at how the sky still holds clouds that are the shape of hope. How the dawn begins at the tips of dewy grass. For this is where the horizon begins. Somewhere the dappled fawn raises her soft neck to watch the sunrise over her meadow. Somewhere monarch butterflies begin their long migration, knowing many of them will not make it home. Remember that you do not need to earn your right to the precious minutes you have on this planet. They are already yours, like the fawn and the butterflies. The universe beckons you to enjoy this life. It is given you through a heart that beats to the rhythm of its very own cosmic song. And the final poem today is called The Waking, and it's by Theodore Ruthke. The Waking. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I feel my fate in what I cannot fear. I learn by going where I have to go. We think by feeling. What is there to know? I hear my being dance from ear to ear. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Of those so close beside me, which are you? God bless the ground. I shall walk there softly there and learn by going where I have to go. Light takes the tree, but who can tell us how? The lowly worm climbs up a winding stair. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Great nature has another thing to do, to you and me, so take the lively air, and lovely learn by going where to go. This shaking keeps me steady. I should know what falls away is always and is near. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I learn by going where I have to go.
Oh, thank you, Sue. I think you've surpassed yourself this episode with those choices. So beautiful. And the rewrite of Mary Oliver. Very interesting. Thank you. Thank you. So I have the lovely task this month of sharing with you a self-care practice. I feel like I've already had one just listening to those poems. So maybe you feel the same, but I'm going to offer you another one as well so that you're super self-cared this month. And our self-care practice this month is to enjoy the beautiful Ayurvedic practice of Abhyanga. Now, I'm really sorry, Ayurvedic people. I've probably pronounced that in a really rubbish way, but that's how it comes out of my mouth. And whether I say it right or even do it right, I can tell you it's very, very enjoyable. So Abhyanga is a lovely warm oil massage of the whole body. And this is what I suggest that you do. So you take some oil. You can use any kind of massage oil, really. Within Ayurveda, there are different constitutional types. And depending on your type, you might choose a different oil. So if you know anything about Ayurveda, maybe there'll be a certain oil that really attracts you. But the important thing, whatever oil that you choose, is that you warm it up before you start. So I do this by filling a bowl with boiling water and then placing in the centre of that a smaller bowl, usually one of the ramekins that I get from my Charlie Bigham's pies or something like that. And just pouring some oil into there and just leaving it there for 3 or 4 minutes to warm up nicely. Obviously, you don't want to be applying boiling oil to your body, but the fact that the oil is warm makes all the difference and makes this practice absolutely luxurious. So take your warm oil to a bathroom or somewhere with hard floors where you're not going to create a terrible mess with your oil. And then the practice is to oil and your whole body and to use the oil then to massage the body. So on the limbs, you work towards your heart. So sweeping up your arms, sweeping up your legs and sweeping around your torso in an inwards direction towards the heart. You massage the oil into your face and your jaw, and you can massage it into your head as well. Sometimes I don't do that because the oil takes a while to wash out of your hair. And to be honest, for me, that sometimes feels like a step too far. But the offer is there and it is really lovely if you've got the time and the space to do that. And then as you come to each of your joints, just making little circular motions around your joints, so your wrists and knees and shoulders, and also the joints on your fingers and toes. It's really nice to have a little circular massage into all of those as well. And then you rest with this oiled body for as long as you have, really, but I would say for at least 10 minutes or so before you go to wash off the oil. And when I've been doing this practice recently, rather than going in the shower and really giving it a good old wash off with soap or anything like that, instead I run myself a nice warm bath and I salt the bath quite heavily with some Epsom salts and also some magnesium salts, which I'm finding really supportive at the moment. And then I just get myself into the bath and spend a few minutes there, just allowing the oil just to release a little. But when I get out of the bath, there's still that real suppleness to my skin and the residue of the oil, which, as long as I'm not going anywhere really smart, I feel like it's a really lovely thing just to retain a little bit of the benefit of the oil then through the rest of my day. So it's a self-care practice in total, including the bath, if you take that option, that probably takes about 40 minutes. So maybe not something for every day, but for a Sunday treat, I cannot advocate it highly enough. And particularly at this time of year where it's still cold outside and our skin can suffer as a result and start to feel dry and chapped and just needs a little bit of lovely unctuous oil to bring it back into balance. So enjoy that, and we'll be back next month with another delicious self-care practice.
Emma, that sounded absolutely delicious. As delicious as your recipes, but just for my body instead. I'm very excited about engaging in that beautiful practice. It's also just a lovely time of year, isn't it? We're on a bit of a low ebb, and it kind of nicely brings us into our tasks section, because we would like you in the first task is to adopt a self-care practice, but possibly taking it, you know, go and book yourself a treat, you know, book in a massage somewhere. This time of year, it's not quite spring, it's still chilly, and, you know, we're all probably, you know, just ready for a bit more warmth. So perhaps going to get a really lovely cozy massage somewhere would be a lovely treat. So that's our first offering. Our second offering, and it's come from me going down the garden every day with my little compost bin to empty my compost and noticing all of the greenery that's appearing in my garden. It's quite squelchy at the moment, I'll be honest, but I kind of squelch down the garden. I'm just really loving just seeing the little heads of the daffodils poking up. And often we'll honour, won't we, the flower when it arrives. You know, we get very excited, we see the snowdrops, or later on we see the daffodils. But I think it's really exciting seeing the new green shoots, seeing the buds. So a second task is to go and seek those out, seek the changes and notice them. And I'm on a roll here with the tasks at the moment. So I'm going to roll straight into task three. And this is a task that I actually picked up years ago. I was working with a group of young people, and we were on something called a wild night out with a local wildlife trust. And it was really beautiful. It stayed with me. And it's ever so simple. And I think it's a beautiful thing to do at this time of year. It's almost honouring the fact that the trees are still bare. They're still... There's no foliage there yet. You know, we haven't seen the big canopies that we'll see later on in the season. So we've still got these bare bones of the trees to go and look at. And you simply go out and make this lovely connection with a tree. Perhaps you pick your favourite tree. And you look at the palm of your hand. Look down at all of the lovely lines and creases there. And you take a pen and you just make a little shape with some of the lines. And it'll look like, you know, like a twig of some kind. And then you take that little shape that you've made on your palm, and you go out to your tree and you look up, and you look at your palm, and then you look up at the lovely structure of the tree, and you see if you can find your shape in the tree. And it's a really beautiful thing to go and have a little moment with. So they are my task offerings this month. Emma, I'm going to hand over to you for the last couple of tasks.
Yeah, so mine are nice, easy little things that you can drop in, one of which is something that I mentioned that I've been doing. And the task is to visit a local market or supermarket and buy yourself at least one bunch of daffodils. Bring the daffodils home, put them in the kitchen or at least somewhere that you're going to see them every day. Watch how quickly they go from being tightly in bud to these really flamboyant trumpets. And as I've mentioned already, that colour yellow for me in February and March is so welcome as a sign of life returning. And it's a really kind of jubilant colour. And yeah, daffodils are definitely my flower of the moment. But we're not too late, however, to catch the end of the snowdrops. So you should still be able to find open gardens or parks with good displays of snowdrops moving towards crocuses. So if you're a big fan of bulbs, try and get out there and take a little trip out just for yourself to go and find that colour and that return of life out there in the world. So those are our tasks, very flowery focused, it feels, this month. And that brings us to the end of that section. And now it's time for Sue to share with us a wisdom card. So Sue, what has Louise Hay got in store for us this month?
Well, this card drawn at random is one that I keep picking, and that sometimes happens. I love that when it happens. And it is this. I take a nice deep breath and release all resistance to healing. I am willing to release the need for this condition. I read those. It's double-sided, so I'll read those again. I take a nice deep breath and release all resistance to healing. I am willing to release the need for this condition. And that's our card section. So that's a nice kind of thoughts to take with us into March. And we have a little final announcement to make. And we're quite excited about this, aren't we, Emma?
We are, because for the very first time, we are running a little competition for you. So we really want more people to get to know about our series of podcasts. And apparently one of the good ways of doing that is to get lots of reviews from existing listeners. And that helps other people then discover the podcast. So we are after reviews. So this month we are offering everybody who leaves a review of our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it, and really importantly, in whatever form your review takes. So we're not only going to consider the 5-star reviews, but everybody who leaves a review is going to be entered into a competition to win the bundle of prizes. And this is going to include a beautiful handmade candle from Sue, a seasonal breathing balm from me, access to a breathing circle and a yoga class, and a little collection of spring poetry. So hopefully a prize well worth winning, all for the price of a couple of minutes of your time leaving us a review. And we will announce the winner on our March episode of the podcast.
That brings our first Journey into Spring podcast to a close. We're so glad that you joined us. That's goodbye from me.
Yeah, and goodbye from me. Look forward to being back with you in March with some more sunshine, we hope.
Thank you for being with us on our Journey into Spring. We'll be back next month with more seasonal inspiration and chat, and we hope you'll be joining us.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, please do like, subscribe, or leave us a review. And if you have any friends who might enjoy a little bit of spring optimism, we'd be really grateful if you could recommend the podcast to them too.